Let's, stand our feet and we'll sing the angel of the Lord's favorite song, Only Believe. Shout which you have come down, getting us ready for the voice of the resurrection, getting our bodies as we're, you said the transformation comes by the renewing of the mind. The Father, knowing that we're going to go to a body which will never perish, which will never get sick, which will never have pain, which will never, Lord, diminish it anyway. We'll be in our youth again, Father, and we're looking forward to that. Our children will be the same age as we are. We will all be serving you, O God, and worship you in spirit and truth. And just the tensions and all the pains of this life, O God, will just be gone. And it'll just be one great, wonderful time together, worshiping you, enjoying the fellowship, singing your praises, and living a life accordingly. Be with us, Father, as we go to your word this morning, as we study, O God, showing ourselves workmen that needeth not to be shamed, because we've rightly divided your word. And help us, Father, to have further understanding into the day and the conditions in which we live. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, this morning, I actually had another sermon prepared. And well, yesterday we had ministers' meetings with the Spanish-speaking brothers, and they had five questions. We're only going to be able to get to one question, and it'll take us 60 pages to get through that one question, which this is blown up, you know, 24 fonts. So it's about maybe 13 pages or so, 12, 13 pages in normal 12 font. But the first question, yesterday morning, as I said, I met with six countries. We had actually a 4.5-hour meeting. And because there's a translator, you can cut that in half, which means 2.25 hours. But I think we can get through it a little bit faster than that, because I knocked off four questions, and hopefully we'll get out of here in an hour or so. The first question has to do with the mark of the beast, or the mark on the forehead of Revelation 13:16, and it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, to receive a mark in. So the question was on the forehead, but actually I read the scripture for that. It says in, not on, in the forehead, which, and in the right hand. Meaning in the mind and in the hands, in the actions. You all know that. Okay. Now, before we can even look at what this mark will be, we must first look at who causes men to receive it. That's important. And the second thing I want you to see is that it is not a visible mark on the hand or on the forehead. So get that out of your thinking, because that physical mark, you know, the Pentecostals believe is going to be a barcode or maybe a stamp of some sort or a tattoo. That's nonsense. It's just nonsense. It will be in the hand, which is in the actions, and in the forehead, which is in your thoughts. Okay, your frontal lobe is where you think, your mind, your memory. And in the hands means in the actions that will come as a result of what you're thinking about. So this mark will be somehow placed in the minds of the people and come forth as a result of what they are thinking. Now remember that. If it's on their mind, they're going to do it. Right? Now, in his sermon, Spoken Words Original Seed, Brother Branham said, "And remember, Christian friends, I'm a man. I can make mistakes, but God, being God, he cannot make a mistake. All the words that's been written must be fulfilled. Jesus said so." Now, how does he fulfill it? By bringing it to pass. How does God interpret his word? By bringing it to pass. So, we've got things here in the scripture that must be fulfilled. And that is one of the things, this boycott to come. But before this boycott can come, I'm reading from Brother Branham, it's in blue, okay. But before this boycott can come, of the marking of the beast, so the boycott and the marking of the beast have to do with each other, there has to be a seed sowed for God to take a church out of it. You understand that? A seed has to be sowed, a denominational seed, and to make a form of an image of the beast, the Church of Rome, and there has to be a true bride. So there's two seeds sowed. Remember, the Son of Man went forth sowing seed, and the devil followed behind him, sowing his seed. Okay, so let's just stop for a moment and look at what he just said. It's all about the boycott. It's all about the boycott. That's their goal. Now, why would the boycott be their goal? Well, the goal is to shut down all commerce and bring absolute control of the people. That's what the boycott does. It brings control. To do that, there has to be a mechanism, and the boycott is their mechanism to control everything. But in order, so when you're seeing these talks about, well, you can't get on an airplane, you can't do this, can't do that, but you can do it, and you can do it, and you can do it. See, their exclusivity, they're already discriminating based on whether you agree with them or you don't agree with them. It's all about controlling this. The greatest battle ever fought is here in the mind. All right? But in order to do that, to control, there must be a mark first to differentiate between those who will go along with the beast system and those who will not. Now remember, the mark is in the forehead, which means it's in the mind or the mindset of the people. Unless they first have this cooperative mindset, they will not be able to implement the control which is ensured through the boycott. That is exactly what he's telling us here first. And before any of this can take place, he tells us first there has to be a seed sown for God in order to take out his church when it comes. So we know that the message in God, that is the message, and God came down himself with that message, which is a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. And that seed is to do what? Listen, the ministry of the prophet Malachi 4, which is a shout of 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, is to change the hearts. That's the changing understanding of the minds of the children. And bring it back to the original word again, back to the doctrine of the apostolic fathers. Now, that is what this message has done. To prepare God's seed against this time, when the mark of the beast will bring forth the boycott, which will be the complete enslavement of the world population and total reset of all financial systems, healthcare systems, educational systems, travel systems, etc. Now, this is what we want to look at. And always remember, no matter what my opinion or any other man's opinion might be, the key is that God always interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. You know, we have an expression. I've heard some of you say it. I've used it. It goes like this. If it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it quacks, you know, sounds like a duck, it's a duck. Well, if we have a boycott in all the world, they don't make him buy or sell, that's happening already in many countries, it's already, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. Places, I have brothers tell me, we can't get money out of the bank because we don't have the vaccine. So they're starting to control everything. That's the boycott. Show me one place in 6,000 years of man's history where that's ever been done in all the world. Never. We are at that end time. We have an expression. Okay, Jesus said it a lot simpler. He said, "By their fruits you shall know them." So we look at the definition of what a boycott is, and it means to refuse to buy, use, or participate in something, to engage in a concerted refusal to have dealings with a person, a store, or an organization. Usually to express disapproval or to force acceptance of certain conditions, such as the COVID vaccine program. Like, the president of France. I can't even think of his name, and I don't even want to know his name. I know, but I just don't want to say it. It's a cuss word to me. He is cussed. Okay. But, you know, he's telling the people, you're not a citizen now if you don't have the vaccine. I'm sorry, but we didn't elect you to be a dictator, you know? But that's what they're doing. They think that if you don't agree with them, you're a terrorist because you don't agree with them. You see, that evil mind that when Cain and Abel were just talking about, well, why did God accept yours and he didn't accept mine? And Abel said, well, do you think maybe it's because that your father is the serpent and, you know, he had intercourse with mom and boom! What do you do? Takes a stone, kills him. That anger. And then when God came to him and said, hey, I know what you did. He got angry. You don't do it my way, you don't do it at all. So, first of all, we can look at the boycott. We must first understand the mark and what it is. So let's now turn our thoughts about what this mark could be. In the book of Genesis, the first mark of the beast was placed upon Cain by God. And that, even if the things that happened, you know, didn't happen the way that they happened, the fact is, he was the first son of the beast. So definitely he would have a mark. Now, not a physical mark, but a mark of distinction. Okay, Genesis 4:3, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now let me just stop here and show you, this was a biblical offering. It was a first fruit offering. It was an excellent offering because it was a scriptural offering. In Deuteronomy 26:1, and it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first fruit of all the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. Now, you might think, but if this is a biblical scriptural offering, then why did God reject it? Good question. So let's read on. Why does God reject the Baptist doctrine and the Pentecostals' doctrine, their offerings and their worship? Why does God reject it? Why does God reject the Catholic? And the, you know, they all have a bit of scripture. You see, sometimes we are too nice. Well, you know, they're just off a little bit here, and, you know, they're off here, but they're so nice. They sing the same songs we sing. Didn't Balaam sing the same songs Moses' people sing? Let's read on. Genesis 4:4. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And as a result, Cain was very wroth. The word was translated from the Hebrew word meaning speedily, with intensity, and the word wroth was translated from the Hebrew word which means anger kindled to a blaze. So you can see right there that his nature manifested quickly upon receiving correction. He had a hot temper. Now Hebrews 12:5 tells us, and have ye not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us as children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. What did Cain do? His countenance fell. Walked around with a lip hanging down. Got angry. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, Cain could not deal with correction, and therefore evidenced in himself that he was a bastard born son. By his fruits you shall know him. Now, a bastard born, by definition, is a person born to parents not married to each other. Couple over here, couple over here, parents, parents. But then this man over here decides to have relations with this woman over here. They produce a child. It's a bastard. It's never allowed into the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. Now, from his sermon, Serpent Seed, Brother Brown said, we went back in Deuteronomy, showed that an illegitimate child, bastard child, could not even enter the congregation of the Lord for 14 generations. That was under the law, and Christ came to magnify the law. How much more is it now? Deuteronomy 23:2, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. All right, now, reproach for the word. More are the children of the righteous, of the unrighteous than there is of the righteous. See, all right, how few they are of the righteous. Look what a little handful there was in the day of Noah. See, look what it was in the days of Sodom. See, how few are the righteous. How many children the harlot has. She just brings children any old way, but they're all bastard children. The harlot brings forth the harlot, the dog brings forth the dog, and Christ brings forth the anointed. The Bible brings forth the righteous, so we have to stand the thought of being a little bunch. What a gracious thing it is. I could make a political comment right now, I'm not going to, but God doesn't deal in numbers. He deals with an individual here, an individual there. On the message here, you hear me, he says, now Jesus, I've been put through the test and trial, and every son that cometh to God must be chastened and tried. If he can't stand chastisement, he becomes a bastard child and not the child of God, the Son of God. That's right. Now, it looks like because of the language and because the word become, see, most people think to become, you're one thing and then you become another. You know, you were a hog, now you become a son. But the word become does not mean that you went from being a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, and then become. And then because you could not stand the chastisement of God and his word, you become a bastard born. No. No, sir. The word become means to fully manifest what you already are. That's what the word become means. To change species, you will go against the law of God, which God said in Genesis 1:11. Every seed must bring forth after its kind. So it is impossible to be born a son of God and then become a bastard born. That would make God the father of a bastard-born child. In John 1:12, we read, but as many as received him, now listen, these are people that received him. Now remember, Jesus arguing with the Pharisees, they said, why do you not listen to me? Why don't you believe me? Because you're not of my father. You have your father, the devil. So it says, but as many as were of such a nature as to be able to receive him, to them gave he power. Exousia, an ability to make a right decision to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now this word become was translated from the Greek word genomai, which means come into being. And the word is from the root word that we use for the gene. Speaking of genetics. Just look at the first five letters. G-E-N-O-M. Genome. Anybody ears prick up when I say the word genome? You all know what that is, right? It's the study of the DNA. That is where we get our study of modern day genetics and DNA is the genome. That is man's hereditary code. So when he's speaking of becoming, we do not speak of changing from one thing to another, but from one stage of life to another stage of life. The Apostle Paul speaks of this changing of life in order as we grow from one stage of life to another. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, because I thought as a child. But when I became, see, from become, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, a child is not a different species than an adult. It's just a younger species than the adult. So we see that the same word become that John used and Paul used is the same thing. It was the same word, genomai. And it means to come into manifestation of what you really are. From Jehovah Jireh, part 3, Brother Branham said, great testing. Now, Abraham, after all these wonderful things, he was tested. After he received the blessing, Abraham was tested. Now, there's where people fail, is in the test. Isn't it strange that God has given us a test in this hour? You say, what is it? It's the plagues. It's this pandemic. You say, how can that be a test? Because God's looking to you to see what you're going to do about it. Are you going to go man's route? Or are you going to take God's word? Now listen real close now. Don't miss it, he says. The Bible says that every son that cometh to God must first be chastened, chastised, whipped. And if we cannot stand the chastisement, we become bastard children and not the children of God. Now, again, he used the word become, we become. If we can't take chastisement, we become. And it sounds like because of the misuse of the word become, it sounds like we're going from one thing to another. But that's not what he's saying. Notice the very next thing he says, it proves that our faith wasn't what we said it was. We haven't got what we profess to have. In other words, you're not a son of God. You never were a son of God. And it proves it because you can't take chastisement. Notice the way Brother Ram uses the word. It seems at first glance you can be one thing and then another. But he corrects that thinking by stating immediately after that it proves that our faith wasn't what we said it was. We haven't got what we professed to have. In other words, it proves that you were bastard born and not born of the Spirit of God, which you claim to have been born by. Now, Jesus used the same argument against the Jews in John 8:39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Every seed after his kind, you see. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Remember, every seed after his kind. Suggesting that their fruits indicate that they have a different lineage than Abraham. For every seed must bring forth after its kind. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We are not bastard born. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, your actions would be different. You would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. But why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear. You cannot understand my words. That word here means understand. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Notice that Jesus lists off many attributes and characteristics of Satan, showing who they're from. He says that, and he goes on, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of unbelief? That's what sin is. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not because you are not of God. In other words, if you were God's children, you would not turn down God's word. Yeah. Now, from the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Brown says, now notice what happened to Eve's children. The first one that was born. Now, if God said multiply to his bride, to Adam's bride, and replenish, multiply and replenish the earth, that was God's commission. And she would have done it, and he would mixing themselves together, but what happened? When Adam got ready to come to her, she was already a mother. See what I mean? Now, the same thing has happened to Christ's church, the bride. Now, we're going back farther than that in just a minute. Notice in this bride, what did she do then? Her first child came forth. It was a bastard child, and he was full of death and caused death. And everyone since then is death. Now, you see, that's why it had to be sex. Now, why do you die? if it wasn't sex? When God gave a commission which cannot perish, God's word is eternal, it cannot fail. When he said multiply and replenish the earth, that was God's eternal purpose. To carry it out, you cannot die because it's God's word. You have to die, you have to live, and if the child would have been brought forth right, there'd have been no death, but she couldn't wait. They didn't want to go by the spoken word, which they came forth by, so they went the sexual way. Now, I've been listening to a lot of these doctors, and every one of them, they're saying the same thing. This vaccine that they're putting out, the first thing it destroys is the uterus. When a child is born, a young child, female, she has every egg that she will ever have in her life already. And what's the first thing that the vaccine does? It destroys the uterus. They're killing off the population. All right? Now, why? It all comes back to this word, brother, sister. This is Satan's doing. And that is the problem we see everywhere today. If the people would have just waited on God for the answer to COVID, they would not have demanded a vaccination. You know, it's like the people in Israel demanded a king. Gotta have a king. Gotta have a king. And you know, somebody just fed the thing. Gotta have a vaccination. We gotta have a vaccination. And the beast system could not have moved into its final stages if the people hadn't been pulling for it. I hear stories of people whose husband or child was killed by the vaccination. And you know what the mother says? I'm pleading with all you people out there to get the vaccination. Mental insanity. End time insanity. And that's why William Branham identified those who pushed for man's treatment over God's treatment. He identified them as unbelievers. You say, oh, you're getting touchy there. Listen, I'm going to read you a vindicated prophet. I'm going to read you his words from accepting God's provided way, Brother Branham said. God had to provide a way to tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. God had a provided way to tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. So now he's going to talk about who's a believer and who's an unbeliever. Now, some of them said, well, now, if the plague... Now, notice, he said, some of them said, not some of us. Difference. Two groups. Some of them said, well, now, if the plague falls, we'll just go in the hospital. If the plague happens to fall, you know what we'll do? We'll go to get Dr. Jones. He'll know how to take care of it. It didn't work. Yet, they were smart. Well, if the plague falls, we'll just go down beneath the ground in a cave and shut the door. That won't do it a bit good. We'll stay in the house and we'll put a mask over our face and even put some disinfectant on it. Didn't do a bit of good. Now, isn't he saying things that are happening today? Now, did those things happen back in the 1960s? No. This is God's warning to us. Notice, God provided a way. Yes, and what is that way? The blood. God provided, as simple as it seems, to take the blood of the lamb and sprinkle the door, yet God said that that was his way, and he honored it. All out from under the blood dies. The first one. You got the token applied to your house? Got the Holy Ghost in you? Now, we're told in God's word. Now, listen. He said God provided a way to show you the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. What's God doing in this day? He's showing us the difference between those preachers out there saying, everybody get the vax. We're not going to have church unless you get the vax. They're unbelievers. You say, you shouldn't say that. Yes, I should say that. A prophet of God said it. Right. I'm going to stand with the prophet of God. Now, we're told in God's word, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, that is the word for this hour, as he, God, is in the light, the word of God, or the word of the hour, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is applied. It's on the door. Why? We're walking in the light. Didn't we read this morning? The scripture says, though a thousand die, fall at my right, 10,000 at my left, it won't come nigh me. It won't come nigh my dwelling. Why? I've got the token applied. I've seen, listen, I've been to Joplin, Missouri, just a couple weeks after that huge tornado that was 1 mile wide and went through the town, 6 miles through the town, destroyed. But you know what? There was a house here standing. And then over here, maybe two blocks away, another house standing. But everything around it was desolated. Just crumbled, almost like when you go out in the field after harvest, and all the soybeans has just been grated and just put into dust, and the field are just stubble. That's what Joplin, Missouri looked like. But there was a believer's house over here, a believer's house over here, a believer's house over here. Didn't touch them. Hallelujah. We all saw the video of the Pentecostal woman. She was believing and praying, and that tornado was heading right for her house, and all of a sudden it shifted and went the other direction. Gatchels could tell you the same story. They've been through several of them up there in Indiana when they're in Danville. All right. God has provided a way, and that is walking in the light. And we are called upon as believers to accept God's provided way, which is the name of His sermon. And we have known for years that germ warfare will be the final phase of the Antichrist push before the coming of the Lord to deliver us. So why is not every person who claims to believe this message fortified themselves and with this message of deliverance that God came down to prepare our hearts? Tape after tape after tape, I hear Brother Bram say, what's coming on the earth is so death, it's going to be so terrible. He said, if you don't believe in divine healing, you better then. God warned us of what is coming in Brother Bram's sermon, Oncoming Storm of Judgment. He said, I'm told in the Bible that there'll be a time come for those who are not in this wonderful sunlight. See, there's your light again. That the fowls of the air will eat the flesh of them, and that diseases is on the road. Notice he's talking plural. Diseases, plural. Is on the road that the doctors will never be able to stop. You're not going to see the end of COVID, brother, sister. Because COVID mixed with SARS is doing one thing, but COVID mixed with Ebola is going to do another. And they're going to use the COVID. They're going to use the cold virus because they found in this time it's a wonderful distribution. It's a way to distribute. Everybody gets it. They put out a test. Let's see how soon this thing will encompass the earth. It took a month, and the world was shut down. A month. He said, diseases, plural, is on its road that doctors will never be able to stop. Never be able to stop. Thus saith the Lord. It's the plagues of God. The Egyptian doctors, which was far smarter than ours today, could not stop the plagues of God. Neither could their soothsayers or their impersonators. It took Goshen. Now listen, this is interesting. It took Goshen and the power of God to hold the people under the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit is at the door today. The Holy Spirit is that safety today. Now, what was Goshen but a physical location? And it was away from Egypt, a physical separation. Again, from the oncoming storms, he says, we see the newspapers and the oncoming storm. When you go home tonight, do me a favor. Don't go to bed until you read Revelation, the 8th chapter. Please, everybody do that. Read it as a family. Revelation chapter 8. You see the oncoming plagues and storms that shall hit the earth, and thunders and lightnings are going to shake the heavens. Woes are going to pass over the nation. Men will rot in their flesh. Diseases will strike them that doctors know nothing about. That's Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. But remember, before that took place, there was a sealing went forth. And the death angels and the plagues was commissioned by God. Don't come near any of those who has a seal in their forehead. The seal of God. And the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4 and 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. No matter how hard the ark rocked, no matter how many times the lightning struck close to it, 10,000 shall fall in your right hand, and 1,000 to your left, and it shall not come nigh thee, the Holy Spirit. Now, how many preachers are teaching that? How many are telling the people, do not take that jab? The plagues are a final test whether you believe God or you're going to believe man. whether you believe God's word and his blood is strong enough for your protection, or whether you believe man's methods, the doctors, the hospitals, isolation, distancing, or mask wearing, and antiseptics. Those are all named by Brother Branham. 60 years ago. If you believe you are in need of men's protocols instead of God's word, his blood and his spirit, then it shows you're an unbeliever. I just read the quote, and God's prophet could not be more plain than what he said. Does that mean that you're going to flaunt it to the world? No. That's where Goshen came in. He said, we've got Goshen and the power of God. Okay, what about Goshen? Because we know we've got the power of God. We know that things can't stand against God. But what about Goshen? Well, don't mingle with the world. They're under judgment. You are not. Stay away and stay clean and touch not. As 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Don't mingle with the world. It's the world under judgment. It's not you. They that believe in Jesus Christ, believe that he's the Son of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, shall not come into the judgment, but that pass from death unto life. In fact, Irenaeus tells a story that he heard from Polycarp about the Apostle John's utter loathing and contempt for these false brethren. He says, there are also those who heard from Polycarp that John, the disciple of the Lord, going to bathe at Ephesus, and perceiving Cerinthus was within, he rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, exclaiming, let us fly, lest the bathhouse fall down, because Cerinthus, the enemy of truth, is within. Polycarp himself replied to Marcion, who met him on one occasion, and said, dost thou know me? And Polycarp replied, I know thee, the firstborn of Satan. Oh, he wasn't sweet. He wasn't nice. We've got to be nice. We've got to be sweet. These men were filled with the Holy Ghost when Polycarp died. They stuck a spirit aside, and enough water poured out to put down the flames, because they were burning him at the stake, and then a dove flew out of his sight. Now you tell me these men filled with the Holy Spirit, and they act this way, that that's not of God. When the Bible says, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And then, I'll be a father to you, you'll be my son. Such was the horror of the apostles and the disciples had against holding even verbal communication with any corrupter of the truth. And yet fornicators claiming the message will come by, and you give them whatever they ask, give them the time of day, give them anything, with the Bible. And the early founding fathers told us, such was the horror which the apostles and their disciples had against holding even verbal communication with any corruptors of the truth. You'd have nothing to do with them. Nothing. As Paul says, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Which means just leave him alone. Knowing that he is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. I know two brothers that I have helped over the years, years and years ago, helped to build houses, churches, things. They've now left the message. Now left the message. Why? Because of a fellow from South Carolina who left the message first, went over there, held meetings, got them to thinking, rational thinking about why this and why that and why this. Like the cloud. Well, there was a missile and it caused a cloud. Yeah, but there was two clouds. The one cloud, they didn't know where it came from and where it went to. They just knew the direction it took. The other cloud, it only hung up there for 4 hours. It was caused by a missile blast. But they don't stop to think, oh, there was two of them. You see, they try to generalizing their thinking about, well, Brother Branham wasn't actually in Arizona at the time of the cloud. Therefore, you know, it didn't happen. It did happen. He told us it happened 6 months before it happened physically. That's right. In October through December sometime in the year before. And it didn't happen until somewhere around April. About 6 months. He told us exactly what God showed him in vision. God declared the heavens before it ever was declared on earth. Now, Brother Brown speaks of the judgments that are coming in his sermon, attitude and who is God. And he says, "For we believe and feel pressed in the Spirit that great judgments are upon these lands, last days, plagues, disease germs already bred up to be scattered throughout the nations. No doctor knows even how to take a hold of it. Oh God, we'll have to believe in divine healing then." You believe in divine healing? Do you exercise it? I'm expecting to hear a phone call here the next few weeks. A contractor came to my house to measure for our back door we're going to have replaced. It's kind of rotting out. And he said, "You know, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you sooner." He said, "I just found out that I've got a very bad liver condition. And the doctors think, you know, it's maybe terminal." And I said, "Do you believe in divine healing?" I said, "Do you believe God can heal you?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, I pray for the sick. I'll pray for you." I laid hands on him. I asked God to heal him. And I told him, I said, "I had people come to me in Africa. I prayed for people with tuberculosis. 4 people in Africa. I'm not afraid to put my hands on them." I prayed for a couple that were married for 8 years and could not have children. A few years later, about 4 or 5 years later, got a email from the pastor saying, "Hey, I've totally forgotten about when you prayed for those people." He said, "Now they have 4 children." God still heals. He's still healing. "Oh, that was just Brother Branham." Well, I'm sorry, but when the plagues come, you're going to run to the doctor. You'll run to the hospital. You'll take all the stuff, you know, and hope that something of man's protocols is going to help you. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When nations are breeding germs together to burst them in bombs and millions die in hours over it. "But oh, we're so thankful that when the destroying angel went forth, you said, Father, touch not none that has the seal of the Father upon their forehead. They are mine." And yet we have ministers and churches saying, "Render to Caesar what's Caesar's. Get the jab. We're not going to open the church door till everybody has it." And yet Jesus said, "They said, you know, Jesus, we need to pay taxes. That's what they're telling us." So show me a coin. He gave him a coin, held it up. "Whose image is on that coin?" They said, "Caesar." He said, "Then give to Caesar what's Caesar's. But give to God what's God's." God himself said, "They are mine." Listen, they are mine in that day when I make up my jewels. They are mine. "Oh, we're so glad tonight to be under the blood, safely protected, as Israel in the days of old, putting the blood upon the lintel of door, upon the doorpost, signs of the cross. When the death angel was sweeping the land, the dark wings bowed down, and when he seen the blood, it rose again, and I will pass over you." And Brother Peter, I know you're watching. When that tornado came, you and your wife were praying. Kids were probably too young at that time, because that was many years ago, to understand what was going on. But it was heading right your way, and you got down to pray. Do you think it was your prayers that changed the course? Or do you think it was the blood? The blood that applied to that house, the token. There's your answer. He said, "When the death angel comes, I will pass over you. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Notice, he said, speaking for God, they are mine. And God said in Isaiah 49:16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Malachi 3:16 tells us, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, not just once a week, often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Notice, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his son that serveth him. So yes, render to Caesar what Caesar's, give, pay your taxes if you owe taxes. If they got loopholes, and you know, do the loopholes, because you know what, they wrote the loopholes for themselves. But you're entitled to use them too. Alright? But render to Caesar what Caesar, but render to God what's God's. This body does not belong to Caesar. This body belongs to God. Ezekiel 11:20. That they walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. There are 217 scriptures where God says, and they shall be my people. We are not. We do not belong to the United States. We do not belong to Poland. We do not belong to Germany. We do not belong to any country. We have a kingdom that we're going to, that we belong to, because we are God's. The kingdom of God and our Christ. So when I hear preachers speaking about taking the jab, and by doing so, you are fulfilling the scripture that says, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and not reading the rest of what Jesus said, and unto God what is God's, I would say these men, by their fruits, their teaching for the season, are not called by God. Because their fruits show they're not teaching the correct teaching for the season. These men are not called by God to preach this end time message. If you're not preaching about what is taking place and warning God's people against the jab, you are not fit to call yourself a watchman of God. Period. They're found fast asleep. Well, they may say what the prophet says and only what he says. And yet they proceed to not say what the prophet said concerning this end time. But they say instead what the government beast system is telling them to say. I do not care one cent for anyone what anyone believes outside of what this vindicated prophet of God taught us. And he said, God has a provided way to tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. And from accepting God's provided way, he said, God had a provided a way to tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Now, what is that way? Well, if you go back a couple paragraphs, God says, Israel... What did Israel have that Egypt didn't have? They had a prophet. They had a blood. They had the blood. And they had the pillar of fire. God had to provide a way to tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. And then he goes on to tell us what that unbeliever does when the plagues begin to fall. I've already read it to you, what he said. And it just goes over the head of so many who still get upset every time I preach on what is happening in the world. Wake up! We're living in the end time. He said, and I will repeat, God had provided a way to tell the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Now, some of them said, well now, if the plague falls, we'll just go to the hospital. If the plague falls, happens to fall, you know what we'll do? We'll just get Dr. Jones. He'll know how to take care of it. It didn't work. But they were smart. Yeah, smart Alex. Well, if the plague falls, we'll just go down beneath the ground and in a cave. We'll shut down the door. That won't do one bit of good. Well, we'll stay in the house and put a mask over our face and put some disinfectant on it. Didn't do one bit of good. God made a provided way, yes. And what was that way? The blood. God provided as simple as it seems, to take the blood of the lamb and sprinkle the door. Yet God said that was his way, and he honored it. All out from the blood dies. Now, you think of those great scientists they had in that day when they were greater scientists than what we have today. You know those pyramids they had scattered around? Those were actually for Wi-Fi. They were actually towers that sent signals. They've proven it today. The shape and everything else, I don't fully understand it, but they did. Scientists did. You think if they analyze the blood on the doorpost of a just an innocent lamb? Now, how is that going to disinfect your house? How is that going to keep you from dying in these plagues? It did. It did. Now, Brother Graham, over the years, kept hammering this through his sermons. From junction to time, he said, as Noah began to warn the people and preach, many of them laughed at him, scoffed at him, because his message seemed entirely out of reason. And today, how could people today, when they say that we got the best doctors in the world, we got the best clinics we ever had, we got all of this, that, and the other, why do we need? Now listen, today we need divine healing worse than ever needed, worse than we ever needed. And as the days go on and on and on, so will it be more and more needed. And it'll come to pass after a while that unless a man is sealed with the Holy Ghost in his heart, until he has laid himself open to all kinds of things, come not nigh any of those who have the seal of God in their forehead, when them tremendous plagues begin to fall. We're at the junction, the crossroads now. Again, from his sermon, provided a way of healing. He said, what is cancer? What is a tumor? What is a disease? We'll deal with that for the next 5 minutes or so. Now, what is a cancer? What caused that thing? Let's take a cancer or anything you wish to take. Tubercular, pneumonia, whatever you wish to, any disease. Diseases are germs. Now, let me pass something here quickly as our time is going. Listen. Did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days that there will be a germ warfare? That diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What does he say? What did you say? Diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, do you believe what I just read to you? That these diseases will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe this is thus saith the Lord? Or do you, as an unbeliever, who says, oh, that's just your opinion. Or that was just Brother Bram's opinion. Or some say in this day, well, he can say it, but you can't. Are you stupid, people? If you can't get off your holier-than-thou rocking horse and see that we're at the end time and the mark of the beast and the boycott are on, you are as blind and naked as Laodicea and you don't even know it. Can we all read these last sentences together? Let's just do this. Let's read it together. Diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the question is, do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? A lot of people claim to have it. Do you? This is an hour that if you don't or unsure, I would be on my knees day and night until I knew. So let's read on. But with the angel, or who had charge over these plagues, was given orders to touch no one on whom the mark was. Why, how much? What kind of teachers have we got to be, brethren, to get the church in order to be in that condition in you? How many teachers, how many preachers are teaching this? To get the people in that condition to be immune. Because your protocols aren't going to save you when Ebola comes. They might save you from a respiratory illness. They might help your immune system to be stronger. But unless you have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to make it. He said, my arms are so sore now. From where the doctors have punched needles in to try to inoculate me from yellow fever and so forth, I told them I didn't need it. But they wouldn't listen to me. But I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's got a serum, and it's called the Holy Ghost. And when that serum goes in, it will inoculate you, hallelujah, in the last days. You think you need the jab? What you need is the inoculation of the Holy Ghost. So don't tell me that you need a doctor or a hospital in this hour. My advice for all of you is stay away from the hospital system unless you are willing to do their protocol, which is set up to kill you. Yes? It's set up to kill you. Even many of the top doctors are saying the number one thing to do is to, if you get this germ on you, is to stay away from the hospitals unless you have a death wish. Because all you have to do is follow the money, and you will see that there is more money for the hospital if you die on a ventilator or use that kidney-killing drug called remdesivir, which even in their test trials, 33% of the people that were on it for just 5 days had severe kidney destruction from the remdesivir. So we see as we continue in Genesis 4 and 5, and his countenance fell. Why? Because God rebuked him. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why art thou angry? And why is that countenance fallen? And in verse 7, according to the
Hebrew book written about the Pentateuch.
But anyway, it said, thou didst rightly offer, but thou didst not rightly divide. You see, King James says, and if thou doest well, if, what is well? Right. If thou doest right, shalt thou not be accepted. Doest what right? Divide it right. Offer right. But if thou doest not well, not right, sin, unbelief, lies at the door. And unto thee shall his desire be, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, Brother Vail, in his sermon, Righteous and Unrighteous, he said, now let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and 15 and prove it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's just find out about it. And right here it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, serving God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there is no such a thing as a workman who will not be ashamed unless or until he divides the word correctly. Now, did Cain offer right? What did he offer? He offered the first fruits. Is that in the Bible? Yes. If it is in the Bible, then the offering was right. But the division was wrong. Because he should have given the blood first, then the first fruit. He misinterpreted the word, and thereby his offer of worship and service to God was not accepted. The act of worship was unrighteous. The service was turned aside. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I that my brother's keeper? In other words, Cain, God, who knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, says, Cain, come on, where's your brother? Well, I don't know. He's lying right there. God knew where he was. He's asking him, tell me. Tell me, Cain. Tell me all about it. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, wherefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Okay. So it took us a while, but we established that Cain received the first mark of the beast. And if you're following along in our reading, we see that he received that mark because he turned down the correction of God by the word. Therefore, the mark shows he cannot stand God. He could not stand with the word. Also want you to see that it is not so much about the mark itself, but I want you to notice what takes place once that mark is given. Now look at the outcome that mark produces. Verse 15, and the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out immediately. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord,
and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden.
What was the first thing Cain did? He left the presence of God. He left the Word. Notice Cain immediately after he received the mark of the beast, the very first thing that he did, he went out from the presence of the Lord, and we see the same thing in John 13. We read it every communion service with Judas once Satan entered into him. John 13, 26, Jesus answered and said, "He it is to whom I give a sop, and when I have dipped it, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what the intent was that he spake to him. For some of them thought, well, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, immediately he went out. And it was night. Left the presence of Christ, presence of the Lord. By their fruits you'll know them. Now we'll go to the first question from the brother. Question one. In the book of Seven Ages of the Church, it is said that the mark on the forehead of Revelation 13, 16 is to accept the doctrine of the world system of churches, Trinitarianism, etc. How could then Unitarians be the doctrine of the world church system at the same time as the doctrine of Trinitarianism? Is accepting the doctrine of Unitarian also receiving the mark on the forehead? Okay. So, you are taking your thought from the Church Age book, so let's go read for ourselves what the Church Age book says. From Resume of the Ages, paragraph 32, the false church groups will come together in a world council of churches. This world council of churches is the image erected by the beast, Revelation 13, 11 to 18. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now remember, the first beast which we saw in Daniel and in Revelation 17 came out of the waters, which is peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. That's languages. But this one comes up out of the earth, which Brother Branham taught us is the United States of America. From Jezebel religion, he said, did you notice Revelation 13? All the other beasts came up out of the sea, waters. Revelation 17:17 said the waters which thou sawest is thickness, multitudes of people. All the other beasts, they came up out of the water, thickness, multitudes, and people. But when the United States come up, it come up out of the earth. There was no people. And remember, when it come up, it looked like a little lamb. Now, a lamb has two horns, and that's civil and ecclesiastical power. But when they're united, remember, when the lamb spoke like the dragon did before him, the dragon was Rome. When the dragon stood before the woman to devour her child, as soon as it was born, the red dragon, who stood before the woman, Israel, to devour the child as soon as it was born, and sent out a persecution and killed all the children from 2 years on down. Now notice, Rome, the red dragon, Brother Ram talking, stood at the woman to devour her child as soon as it was born, and he, reading the scripture now, notice, this beast coming up out of the earth, and he, it's not a church, it's not a sheep, and he, it's a nation, had two horns like a lamb, and he, a nation, spake as a dragon, and he, a nation, exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he, not she, not a church, but he, a nation, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven in the sight of men, that's NASA, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, like saying we landed on the moon, we didn't. There's no evidence that anybody's been there. In fact, all the evidence proves it wrong. No, when all the pictures were taken, no stars. You could see four men in the picture instead of three that went up there. You see light coming from different directions, showing that they had lightings. It was all a stage act. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image, a world council of churches, to the beast, Rome, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he, the United States, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, the World Council of Churches. It's in New York. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And the United States causes, now see, it's the United States doing this. And the United States causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. It's not the Vatican. It's the United States. Oh, that puts a kinker, don't it? Remember, Brother Branson, they couldn't get it done through religion.
So they cut it up into pieces and shoved it in through politics, and that's where they'll get it done. You're going to see more of this coming up. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, that is the very number of the patent for this vaccine, WO2020. Why is it WO2020? World Order. Why 2020? Because it was made in March 26th of 2020, and the patent was formed. And what was the patent number? 666. Now remember, it was imperial pagan Rome that fell by the sword, but she was healed of her death stroke when she joined to the nominal Christian Church of Rome and incorporated paganism and Christianity, and thereby became the Holy Roman Empire, which was to endure until Jesus came and destroyed her. But Rome is not going it alone. See? Her daughters are right with her, and she will take over absolute authority by the World Council of Churches. This may seem far-fetched to some, but actually it is very plain for all to see, because right now the churches are controlling politics. And at the opportune time, will manifest exactly how great is that control. Go out to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. What is Franklin Graham doing? Oh, the Christian thing to do is take the vax so you don't spread the COVID to somebody else. Who's spreading the COVID? The people that are vaxxed. Who are dying in the hospitals? The people that are vaxxed. What does the Pope say? Oh, you're not a Christian unless you get vaxxed. That shows that you have love for humanity. And what about the other Pope, the Archbishop of the Eastern Orthodox? He said the same thing. He said, you can't call yourself a Christian unless you get vaxxed. Also, now we're not a citizen, according to the guy in France, the president over there. You're not a citizen, and now we're not a Christian, according to these usurpers, if we don't get vaxxed. Show me that in the Bible, please. One word off of Satan's kingdom, and we are in Satan's Eden. Rome is not going it alone, he says right here. Her daughters are right with her, and she will take over absolute authority by the World Council of Churches. Now, this may seem far-fetched to some, but actually, it is very plain for all to see, because right now, the churches are controlling politics. And at the opportune time, will manifest exactly how great is that control. This ecumenical move will end up with Rome at the head, even though the people did not envision it that way. This is so that Revelation 17:3-6, it states that the whore, Mystery Babylon, is seated on the beast. She is controlling the last or fourth empire. Now, remember, the woman had a bow, no arrows. She sat on a white horse, a religious horse, spiritual horse. But then the woman changed to a bloody horse, right? A red horse. What's that? When Rome began to use the politics to force that doctrine, that Nicolaitan doctrine, upon the people. So the woman was riding a power, a spiritual power, changed to a nationalistic power. She used Rome. To a black horse was a political power. Death. Now, Before I go any further, there are a couple things he said that I want to show with other quotes as well. So you can see the real picture here is not the church itself outwardly, but it is the controlling of the political system by the church. But the church remains behind the scenes, but the political system is being manipulated by the church system. Remember, it's a brindle horse. It's all three. You got the spiritual power, you got the religious power, you got the political power, and you got the national powers. So she's riding. She's the same person, switches horses, but she's controlling all three. Jezebel religion. Then one day after sin had taken its toll, and God had brought his people to their knees. Now, when did millions of people go to their knees? When they thought Hillary Clinton would become president. How many people in here went to their knees? I did. God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, and the Christians all over the world, they prayed that she would not get in, and she didn't. So he's talking about after that happens, then one of these days, after sin, unbelief, had taken its toll, and God has brought his people to their knees. And now we're getting serious. Jezebel, which is Rome, the whore of Revelation 17, took everything and she wiped it up, all up, and she'll do it again. That's thus saith God's Holy Bible. She'll do it again. She's right on the throne now, behind the figurehead, twisting it any way she wants to, and nobody's going to stop her. Now, when the Christian people went to their knees and Hillary lost, they all sighed a breath of relief, but Trump was not able to stop her, Rome. And you all know about Daniel 8:23-25, where we showed that it was Trump doing all that he could to stop it. But the Bible says that when he goes up against the prince of princes, it says that he would be broken without hand. 11 months before the election, I told you he wouldn't be reelected. I said it right in my sermon. I think it's number 138, unveiling of that. I said, there's something about this. I said, I don't know what it will be, but he will be broken without hand, which means that he'll lose his power without hand, meaning not by his own hand. He even made the manufacturing increase as the prophet told us he would. But then we read where he would stand up against the prince of princes, and then suddenly he would be broken without hand, which means lose control of power. And we all saw the news, how it was the Vatican satellites that took down the election in January. Now, let's just read on to see what else happens. Or is happening. He says, certainly nobody's going to stop her now. Because what they couldn't get done in religious circles, they cut up into politics. And there, where? Politics. They got it done. Where will they get done? Through politics. Uh-huh. That's exactly what they done. Which the political will be a boycott. Now think about that. Just exactly back to the mark of the beast. As sure as I'm standing here, see, the Bible said it. Now, keep that thought in mind as we read from the fourth seal. What else Brother Brown said concerning this was to take place? Now, from the fourth seal, he said, notice the Antichrist was on a pale horse, mixed color. A horse is a beast that represents power. His power is all mixed up. Why? It's politics, it's national powers, it's religious powers, it's demon powers, it's all kinds of powers mixed together, a mixed pale horse. He got all kinds of powers, and when Jesus comes, it's on a one solid colored horse, the Word of God. Remember, it's a white horse. This one's mixed in its colors of red, white, and black. Three colors in one, represented in one. The three powers represented in one. A white horse, a black horse, red horse, and three crowns in one. Isn't that interesting? What does the Pope wear in his head? A triple crown. Why? Politics, national, and religious. From the fourth seal again. Now, here they are joining themselves together, coming to that showdown to Armageddon, and riding on a mixed colored horse with one horse of white, one horse of red, one horse of black, and the three different political power. Spiritual power. Controlled by demon power, which is the Antichrist. Mixing that all together, you got a pale, sickly looking thing he's riding on. That's right. Now notice, look what he's riding on. This pale-looking, grizzled-colored horse, mixed with black, red, and white, coming into the battle, gathering his subject from every nation under heaven. Did not Daniel interpret the dream and seen that streak of iron running to every kingdom of Rome? Whoa, wait a minute. So every kingdom had a streak of iron. What's that? United States, Eisenhower, iron. A streak controlling everything. How they do it? Through the economy, through the dollar. 70% of the world is controlled by the dollar. Now back to the church age book. It says, thus all the people have to belong to the world church system or be at the mercy of the elements, for they cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast in the hand or head. This mark in the head means that they will have to take the doctrine of the world church system, which is Trinitarianism, etc. And the mark in the hand, which means to do the will of the world church. What's the will of the world church right now? Get a jab, right? which this great power, the church system, will persecute the true bride. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching. Closing down churches, you see. Yes, sir. Her ministers will be forbidden to give comfort and truth to the people who need it. Try to go into a hospital when somebody's sick right now as a pastor and see if you can get in. Try it. Oh, I'm sorry. They're isolated because of COVID. We have COVID laws now, COVID rules. You can't come. You can't go pray for the sick. But before the Antichrist in person takes over this complete world system of churches, the true church will be taken away from this world to be with the Lord. God will catch away His bride for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. That's your hope. That's what we live for, to be taken out of here. Now, to answer the question, Brother Brown mentions doctrine like Trinitarianism. And then he said a little word that we take for granted and overlooked most of the time. He said, and etc. Now, this etc. is the most important, because he said in a sermon, Jezebel Religion and the Fourth Seal, that they could not get it done through religious circles. So they switched horse to a political and nationalistic power, and that's where they will get it done. You see, now, that word etc. is a mighty big word to overlook, because it tells you the focus is not on Trinitarianism alone, because you can't get the Jew nor the Muslim to swallow that or to believe it. And the Bible says that they get the whole world, both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, to buy into this new thing that they'll be pushing. And if you do not have this mark, which the Greek word charegma also means badge of servitude, like a passport for a country is a badge of servitude, thus the vaccine passport comes to mind, then if you refuse it, you will be boycotted and will not be able to buy or sell. So the battle is on, but I predict that Satan will win out. Or there may be a few small battles in the courts, but that will dry up when the squeeze is placed upon the Supreme Court justices. And since William Branham said they can't get it done through religious circles, so they will switch to politics and national spirit. Now, the majority of this... Now, listen, they're already... Look, just last week, the Supreme Court said, okay, Mr. President, Mr. Biden, you cannot mandate the companies with over 100 people that everybody has to get the vaccine. Okay, I'll back off. But you companies out there, you do it for me. That's what he said. And then they had another case come up. Well, then what about the people working in the hospitals and stuff? And guess what? Two of the conservative justices sided with the liberals and they said, yeah, they can do it to the hospital workers. Oh, we don't care about them. They can get the jab. It's coming to everybody. They're not going to let up. You get an animal wounded, what does he do? He gets more vicious. And since William Branham said they can't get it done through the religious circle, so they switch to politics and national spirit. Now, the majority of this next quote from the Church Age book was taken directly from the scriptural reading of Revelation 13 from the Church Age book, Thyatira Church Age. Now, right here, I will be getting ahead of myself, and maybe I ought to reserve this for the message on the last age, but it seems just right to put it in now because it deals so clearly with organization and what is going to happen through it. I want you to know Revelation 13, 1-18, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, the dragon Satan, and that gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who was able to make him war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things of blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in it. Now, what are they blaspheming the tabernacle? Have you seen the new Vatican? It looks like a snake. You look at it from a distance, it's a head of a snake. And you go inside and you see all kinds of demons and snakes coiling themselves around in the walls and everything else. It's a serpent. It's Satan's Eden. And he blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast. Okay, so that was Rome. And now I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. That's the United States. And had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. And he, the USA, exercises all the power of the first beast, Rome, before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, Rome, whose deadly wound was healed, from Roman political to Roman religious. And he doeth great wonders, so that he, the United States, maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. There's your NASA program. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he, the USA, had power to do in the sight of the beast, Rome, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Now, notice this picture here is the closest I could come to one that I had. I actually had when I taught history class, ninth grade history class in 1976. And I had a map that showed, and if you look at the top here, let me just use a cursor here. If you look at this, you see that this looks like the front leg of a lamb. This looks like the back leg of a lamb, kind of fluffy through here, fluffy through here. And you can see his face here. He's got, and notice, it looks like he's got some ears hanging down like a lamb. Okay? And so this is the United States. And he speaks like a lamb, but he looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Saying that they should create a world council of churches in the USA, and they did. And is located in the same city as the United Nations. So in the United Nations and the World Council of Churches are two horns, civil and ecclesiastical power. They're both in where? New York. That's where the head is, New York. Okay? Now, from Roman political to Roman religious, you know, I used to have a map of pre-1812, but actually you can see New York, the way the map was drawn, looked like it had two horns coming out of the head of a ram. In fact, in that picture, if you go back, you see the ears drooping down, but you see the Great Lakes here. When you see it clearer, this, you know, a big picture, this actually looks, these two Great Lakes look like two horns hanging back. Okay, just now, from Rome political to Rome religious, okay, and he, the USA, had power to give life under the image of the beast, World Council of Churches, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he, the United States, causes all, and that is your key right there, because as goes the United States, so goes every country. And he, the United States, causes all. Not she, the Vatican. He, the United States, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, a badge of servitude. That's what if you look at the word charegma, it says mark, token. God has a token, Satan has a token. God has a mark, Satan has a mark. God has a badge of servitude, that's the Holy Ghost. Satan has a badge of servitude. That's his facts. Passport. In their right hand, in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that has a mark, the badge of servitude, like a passport, or the name of a beast, or the number of his name. And remember, the patent number is WO2020060606. Now here's wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, remember, Cain didn't get the physical mark until later, but he was born son of the serpent, right? Born son of the beast, actually. So, what became of Cain that God gave him an actual physical mark is because his actions proved. Like Brother Branham said, they become, he said, if they can't stand the chastisement of the Lord, they become. Not that they go from one species to another, but they manifest that they weren't a son of God to begin with. Okay? From God keeps his word, Brother Brown said, no wonder Jesus said, except these days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. Therefore, I'm basing my thoughts here that we're at the end time. The Lord Jesus comes soon, shall come soon, But the spirit of the day, oh, you can see, take on your thinking. Can you see what's happened? Before this great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scriptures by forcing the people after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, forcing them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and come and the boycott to come. Now listen, I put this in my sermon of number 204 of the Unveiling of God. There's 230 or 40 sermons in that series. So that was over a year ago, before the vaccine programs began. And from here to the rest of the sermon is what I said back then, taking this quote from Brother Branham, before this great onslaught coming on, to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scripture by forcing the people after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. Can't you see America has fell for the glamour and the goddess of this? It's paid the devil in the realm of flesh, making a way for this to present itself. Amen. I hope you understand. Stay clear of it. I don't care how many PhDs and PhDs or ever, what's behind it is a lie. For let every man's word be a lie and mine be true, saith the Lord. For heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Now notice he said, after the hold is gotten. So what does that mean? According to the dictionary, it means to remain or continue in a specified state. That's these lockdowns that we're having worldwide. These stay-at-home orders. This is the hold down we just went through. And notice his words before this great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scripture by forcing the people after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. Now, he said, after the hold is gotten, and the word gotten means to come to a specified place, to arrive at, to reach or to succeed, to become enabled or be permitted. So after the lockdown has been enabled or permitted, then something happens, he says. So we see that after these lockdowns, these stay-at-home orders, these self-quarantining, after that, and they're universal around the world everywhere. In fact, in many countries, they have them, then they go away for about a month, then they come back again because of Delta, and they go away, and then they come back again because of Omicron. I thought the next one would be like United, for United Airlines. If you got Delta first, you know, you might have a United, and then maybe a Southwest or something, but they decide Omicron, whatever that means. But see, after these lockdowns, these stay-at-home orders, self-quarantining, after that, then what? He said the next thing is this great onslaught coming on. And what will this great onslaught, what will be this great onslaught? Now notice, this great onslaught brings the mark of the beast. Now, before this great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scripture by forcing the people after the hold is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and boycott to come. That's a mouthful right there. You know, we could probably take 10 sermons on that. So we see that he is telling us that after the stay-at-home orders come, which is already taking place in every country on earth, he says, after that, then there comes a forcing. So we ask the question, forcing of what? Well, we all know because I preached this a year ago, and we've seen the forcing come. And what does the forcing produce? Does the forcing have to do with the onslaught that's coming, which he says comes after the hold is gotten? Now, what is he talking about? This is strange language back in the 1960s, but not so strange now that we have our eyes open to see the word being fulfilled before our very eyes. He is speaking of a time when the great hold or lockdowns come, which will be universal thing upon all nations, and what is after the hold has gotten me. Notice, this picture here, and you see it's all red. The whole world is red. That's the lockdowns where they either have 100% or they have like 80%. That's the lockdowns. That's the conditions of the world. Back then, this is back in March of, early 2021. Well, any cattleman knows that to inject a cow with medication or to brand the cattle, they place the cattle in a holding pen. That's where the steer is held and cannot move freely. His freedoms are restricted. His freedom has been taken away from him temporarily until they can inject him with whatever shot he needs. So he's in a holding pen, a place of confinement, until those in control decide to let him out. That's what Brother Branham was saying. When the hold is gotten, then you see they'll start the forcing and the onslaught. And usually that freedom comes only after he's been injected, branded, or both. And he is never free again because he's been tagged. A brand is a sign of ownership. In fact, you get the vaccine that they own the patent on that makes you from a human being to a transhuman being. Like the head of Moderna, the scientist, said. It's human operating system 2.0. Guess what? They own you. They own you. Therefore, he says, you've been branded. Therefore, he says, things that we would never accept, but which has been in practice in all the other countries. So what are those things that we have never accepted, those countries out there have already accepted? And the answer is dictatorship and tyranny. No freedom to assemble, no freedom of speech, no freedom to own firearms. It'll all come down to the end. It's all coming down to the end, brothers and sisters, and it's coming here, he said. And we see it. Before this great onslaught coming on to bring the mark of the beast and to fulfill the scriptures by forcing the people after the lockdown is gotten, just like it is in other countries, force them into things that they do not accept to cause the persecution and the boycott to come. So let's reword this some. Not adding to what he said, not taking away from what he said. Let's just break down what he said and check out what he means by certain key words that he dropped here. And that will give us a better understanding of what he's saying. The first thing we want to look at is where he said, before the great onslaught coming on, which will bring the mark of the beast and fulfill the scriptures. So what is an onslaught? An onslaught is defined as a fierce or destructive attack brought on by force of many or overwhelming numbers. Like Jesus spoke of the devil coming on like a flood. Overwhelming numbers. Like what we have seen with the so-called pandemic has overwhelming numbers of people who've come down with COVID and overwhelming numbers of mortalities, even though those overwhelming numbers may be a delusion and, in fact, just made up and not real. In other words, the inventor of the PCR test, his name, Kerry Mullis, he said emphatically that the PCR test was not meant to be used to diagnose. Yet that is exactly what they use it for, to give them the overwhelming numbers they need to call this COVID a pandemic, but it is mostly false positive. He said the most you should ever do is 35 magnifications, and with 35 magnifications you can find anything you want because it magnifies it so much you can see just a little bitty particle of a protein that might be in an influenza or might be in a COVID or whatever. Well, you've got the little particle. Now you blow it up 40 times. And now it looks like it's everywhere. It's like people can't see the trees from the forest, right? They're looking at one tree. They can't see the forest from the tree. You can't see anything but COVID in that person. And yet it's not there. It's like maybe one in a billion, one in a trillion. And he said, it is not to be used to diagnose. If that's exactly what they used to give them their overwhelming number that they needed to call this COVID a pandemic, but it's mostly false positives. So it's all a deception. And we know that the scripture tells us that the main attribute to know that we are in the end time is the amount of deception will be everywhere. So when Brother Branham speaks of the onslaught that's coming, he says the onslaught will produce a forcing of something. So the second thing he says here is that the hold down or lockdowns will bring on a forcing of the people. And then he tells us when this forcing will take place. He says after the hold is gotten. So we must ask ourselves what he means by the hold is gotten, after the hold has been enabled. So once the hold or lockdown have been enabled globally, then and only then will the forcing take place. Once the hold has been activated, then while the people have nowhere to turn, just like the cattle in the chute, then the forcing will begin, the forced injections and the forced brandings. And you think the cattle enjoy getting injected or branded? I don't think so. Neither will the people, but they're letting it happen. He's letting us know how this will all come down. So once we see one part of their plan, we should be anticipating the next part of their plan to take place. That is how we stay on top of the word as it comes to pass. And the word hold means what? Now, remember, Brother Ram had been a cowboy. I believe he was speaking in cowboy terms here, and no one really understood back then until now that we're looking at the manifestation of what he said. After all, God interprets the word by bringing it to pass, and to see the people have been placed in their old holding pens by being locked down throughout the world until the injections and branding begins to take place. The cowboy places his brand on the cattle to give an outward sign or a mark that the cattle are his ownership. And that is what the elites of Catholic Church are in the process of doing. They have locked down the world and are now in the process of applying the mark, their sign of ownership. And when you have that vaccine, that WO2020-06-06-06, that's in the vaccine. That's their mark of ownership. You no longer are your own. You are theirs. And the world is being compelled to take regular updates to the vaccine at the will of the government. So people have become like cattle and must be rounded up to have a vaccination and branding just like a Hereford cow. And then he says, and this will cause the persecution. Why? Because many will resist. The Bible tells us that many will die avoiding this branding. And they will be hunted down and forced to take this mark upon them. And the Bible says that they will be compelled to do so, or they will not be able to buy or sell, and will be killed off like cattle owners culling off the herd. And I'm afraid, though, that so many who claim to be Christians in this world are still looking way down the road for the branding to begin and the mark of the beast to be assigned to everyone on the earth, both small and great, rich and poor, as we read in the book of Revelation. Now notice, he, the USA, causes all, compels the world, whether they are rich or poor, free or bond, small or great, to receive the mark. Notice it is not a free will thing they are doing. They are compelled to do it, which means they are forced into it. How? Because if they don't, they will not be able to buy or sell, save he that has the mark. And if you lose your job, you won't be able to buy, that's for sure. Now the president was told by the Supreme Court that what he's doing is not constitutional, which means it's illegal. But don't think for 1 minute, brothers and sisters, that will end this mandate. Already the president is calling for businesses to do it on their own. So it is here to stay until the Lord takes us out of here. Be prepared for the resurrection meetings this spring. And make sure that your daily prayer is about those resurrection meetings and your being there. Why? If it's in your mind, it's a seed. You water that seed, what will it bring forth? What's in the mind? As I said, my bucket list for 2022. Resurrection meetings. Change of my body. Being caught out of here. I hope yours is the same. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, knowing that we're living in such a wicked time. A time that is never in the ages of history. Oh, we've seen it in the history. Maybe one country over here, one country there. One small location, you know, the persecution here, persecution there. But never a worldwide locking down. A worldwide culling of the people. A worldwide branding and injecting like cattle to the slaughter. But we're seeing it today. Be with us, Father. May we be in Goshen, away from the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.